Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Abby Bolaños in San Francisco, and here are your state headlines. The City Council in National City voted against an ordinance that would make camping on public property illegal if shelter beds are available. The proposed ordinance is modeled after the San Diego ban on homeless encampments, which also prohibits tent encampments at all times in certain areas, including parks, canyons, and near schools. The City Council stopped short of approving the measure because the city doesn't have open shelter space at the moment. The council directed staff to do more research before they passed the proposed ordinance. State water officials say the last snow survey of the season on Tuesday revealed good news for the millions of Californians and farms who rely on snow melt. KQED's Ezra David Romero has more.
The snowpack is at 110% of the average for April 1st. That's a date water managers use to measure peak snow levels for the year. The results are a big deal because in January, the Sierra Nevada snowpack was at just a quarter of average. Andrew Schwartz runs the UC Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab near Tahoe.
The beginning of the year was more indicative of what we expect to see in the future. In terms of overall climate change in this year, this is one of those years where we kind of wound up fortunate.
Schwartz says Californians may also luck out because this year's average snow levels mean a lower chance of both wide-scale flooding and early season wildfires. For the California Report, I'm Ezra David Romero.
L.A. County authorities have a new strategy to help curb gun violence. LAS senior health reporter Jackie Fortier says they're giving away gun locks.
In L.A. County, a child is killed or injured by gun violence every 30 hours, often from guns left loaded and unlocked. Rudy Nunez was just 16 years old when he was shot in the neck, paralyzing him from the chest down. He now works with other gun violence survivors.
It means a lot to me to help people with spinal cord injury, to show them life is not over. There's still life after injury.
The locks work by threading a steel cable through the weapon to prevent accidental firing. Like a bike lock, a gun lock can be opened with a key. The county plans to give away 60,000 of the devices at medical facilities and by request online. Later this year, gun locks will be available at LA County libraries, no questions asked. For the California Report, I'm Jackie Fortier in Los Angeles.
A parcel of land along the Northern California coast is being restored by the Yurok tribe, who's returning the property to nature. The land has been returned to the tribe in a first-of-its-kind deal in partnership with the National Park Service and California State Parks. North State Public Radio's Alex Stutson has our story.
Just off the Northern California coast, nestled against the edge of Redwood National and State Parks, is a place the Yurok tribe calls Arau. The agreement to repatriate the 125 acres to the Yurok tribe was finalized last month. Steve Metz, superintendent of Redwood National and State Parks, says this deepens the relationship between his office and the tribe.
Usually that was a tribe coming to National Park Service lands and providing their expertise. Now it's going to be flipped around a little bit, that they're the owners and the Park Service is going to provide our help and support to the Yurok.
The tribe will create a series of trails that connect to the Redwood National and State Parks nearby, and the tribe hopes to build a cultural center to educate people about tribal history. Rosie Claiborne is the tribe's cultural resources director.
But it's an important piece. Every piece is really important, and you know, Yurok will always continue to fight to regain all of our ancestral territory back. That's not a hidden fact. It's written into our constitution. That's our mandate we work on every day here.
It's an important piece of land for the tribe culturally, and it was used as a hub for trade.
In ancient times, it would have been a meeting place because all of our trails converge at that one area.
That's Philip Williams, a tribal council member. He says Prairie Creek, which runs through the land, was a vital source of salmon and trout.
All the rivers and creeks along the coast, you know, they were a food source and materials, you know, basket materials, medicines. Basically, that was our grocery store and our refrigerator.
But the land, like many other parts of the tribe's territory, was stolen from them and badly damaged during the 19th century gold rush and by timber companies. Arau in particular was later the site of a sawmill, one that Williams worked at when he was younger. He says the mill ravaged the land and the river.
The sawmill was a dirty place. It had oils and chemicals and things spilled all over. And so our waterways were considered dump sites, where they would just pour whatever waste they had into the creek, into the waterways, and pollute it.
The timber mill stopped operating in 2009, but its footprint still scars the land. Giant slabs of asphalt and concrete foundations remain, along with a few collapsing structures. After the mill shut down, the property was purchased in 2013 by the nonprofit Save the Redwoods League. They partnered with the Yurok to start the years-long process of restoring the land. Native grasses and trees have been planted all along the riverbank, and crews continue to remove invasive plants elsewhere on the land. Laura Lalamond is a senior scientist with Save the Redwoods League.
Another big part of the project is creating juvenile fish habitat. And so that's creating off-channel ponds, backwater areas, and other features in the stream that allow spaces for juvenile fish to rear.
Prairie Creek, before the restoration began, had very steep banks and flowed too fast. But now the stream is flowing healthily. It's got bends, curves, and shallow pools. Councilmember Williams says the effects of the restoration are already apparent.
There's a reward, a cherry on top, when you see fish move right in there immediately and start using the habitat that we just built.
The Yurok will continue restoring the land in partnership with Save the Redwoods League and will formally take ownership of it in 2026. For the California Report, I'm Alex Dudson in Oreck.
And that is the California Report for Wednesday, April 3rd. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Mavi Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Stanford Medicine, comprising its School of Medicine and adult and children's health systems working together to advance knowledge and improve lives. StanfordMedicine.org. Hint. Fruit-infused water with no sugar or diet sweeteners with more than 25 flavors, including watermelon and pineapple, in stores or delivered from hintwater.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy works to create a healthy, resilient, secure world for all, on the web at theschmidt.org.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.